got a dotted racial identity and ethnic heritage. That's part of the world. When you're a saint, you become colorless, odorless, and tasteless. You see what the police are doing to black folks? Yeah. What do you feel about it? I feel about it like I feel about any other injustice. A human shouldn't do a human like that. It has no racial bearing on me whatsoever. Well, I bet you what, when that white cop stops you and you feel that racial injustice projected toward you, what are you going to think then? I'm going to think that's the devil trying to torment a saint. Because that's what it'll be. People bound in racial identity don't even understand the gospel at all. And they'll preach some racial junk into your system to do what? Bind you. It's going to bind you. It's all founded in pride. We are the Jews. I saw a writing the other day. This was really, really funny. This lady pulled up these articles about Ham, Shem, and Japheth, saying that, and the article said that the descendants of Ham lived in the land of Canaan, in Africa, and throughout the Middle East. That was where Ham's people settled. So therefore, the blacks are the Hebrews. That's the point they're trying to make. Okay, now, do you not understand that Abraham was a descendant of Shem, not Ham? You see how silly it is? He was a Semite from the land of Ur of the Chaldees, which is now Iraq. He called him from the Ur of the Chaldees, a descendant of Shem. He traced his bloodline. He came from Shem. A Semite. That's why they call people who don't like the Israelites anti-Semitic. But yet you're trying to trace Ham back to be the Hebrews. It makes no sense historically. You can't prove it logically. You know what's wrong with you? You're black. And you want to have black pride. With your fist raised, talk about Gawa, black power. Look, man. This ain't the 1970s. You ain't no panther. People are crazy. You're preaching the gospel of liberation to get them free. And they're clinging to their chains, their slave chains. What's wrong with them? Won't forgive white people for enslaving black people. Won't let it go. Forgiveness will liberate you from all that. Just forgive. Forgive, forget. Go on. I'll never forget. I'll never forget. What? You'll always be bound. Because you're going to find out in life that when you go places and you begin to matriculate through life, that all white folks ain't racist. When Daryl goes into the corporate world as a young executive and that white executive takes him under his wing and begins to matriculate him through the system and look out for him and give him promotions and show him the way to do things and teach him what he knows. And 10 years down the road, he's a vice president of whatever. He won't be disliking white folk. But guess what? He's going there with a black power bandana on his head talking about, I'm coming to work here as a black man and I deserve black rights and I want black food and I wear black. I want my office painted black. Look man, you know what we're going to do with you? Fire that black man. Can you please fire that black man on the third floor? See, and it's a contingent of people to see me as an Uncle Tom, a sellout. Those words are not germane to the Christian. That's for them over there. They're racist, whites, blacks, Hispanics. That's them over. That's the world. Has nothing to do with the household of God. But you won't let it go. Let it go. You'll die in your sins. You'll die bound. You'll die a racist. And I doubt very seriously if a racist is going to be marching in to the heavenly gates of Pearl. Because you got unforgiveness in your heart. Let it go, man. So you can come into the body of Christ and be productive in Christ and live. You're going to find, as I found in the military, it's good and bad folks of all races, cultures, all backgrounds. You know, good and well, you're black, and some black folk you don't want to be around. You know that. So why are you trying to make it a black-white thing? It's some black folk you don't even want to be within 10 miles of, because you know they're crazy. Let's get for real. And people always talking about don't be airing black folks' dirty laundry in public. Y'all crazy. You know what? Y'all crazy. When you get born again and you come out of the world, all that racial identity stuff is burnt up in the fire. Yes, it's hung on the cross. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Yeah, you were born black, but you've been born again. You have another race, another heritage. You're another species. You bear the DNA of the resurrected Christ now. Your heritage is not of this world. That way you won't be limited in God. You won't just get the black stuff from God. You see how stupid that is? I'm going to limit God. If it's not black, take it back, God. I don't want it. If it ain't black, get back. I want black blessings. That's crazy. He offers you a steak dinner. I want chitlins. Come on, man. That's crazy. That's crazy. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? It ain't black enough for me. Used to be a song with the word, like, am I black enough for you? Is it black enough for you? Man, come on, man. We got, it's some serious problems down here, y'all. See, this we might laugh at it. But it's folk that believe this with every fiber of their being. They will go to blows over this. Right now, they're turning off live stream because I am a heathen or Uncle Tom or I don't understand the black experience. All that stuff they'll hurl at you when I'm just telling you, you just got to be born again. Get saved from the guttermost to the uttermost. From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Get born again. Get saved. And come into a new and living way. A life that's free from the bondage of slavery and fear. That the devil is using all these mechanisms to bind you. Ham is not Shem. And Abraham came from Shem. He's a Semite. Oh, I mean, what you got to do to break this bat over your head to make you stop? And they post this stuff proudly. You see, Ham was settled in Canaan. In Canaan land, in Judea, the land of the Hebrews. Since Ham was there, he must have been the original Hebrews. See? Well, you got the wrong tribe, the wrong lineage. You got to trace Abraham back to from whence he came. He came from Shem. You know, because Japheth were the people, the whites over in Europe. So that excludes them from being Jewish. Jews can't be white. It's still a black-white thing is all you're trying to prove. Stop it. You make yourself look bad. Now look at this. So you see, fear and bondage go together. What's the root of fear? You're afraid to die. Not only be graveyard dead, but die to your environment, your heritage, and who and what you are and what you were brought up as. When you're afraid to die, all you have is this world. That's it. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. All you have is this world if you're afraid to die. And you're locked up in this present world and you have nothing else but that. That's pitiful. You know why it's pitiful? Because 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19 says this. 1 Corinthians 15, 19. I might say 1 Corinthians 19. I meant 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men, what?
Most miserable.
Watch out, all these folk that preach all this black stuff and all this black heritage are miserable. They're bitter inside and they're angry people. They can't even enjoy life because they harp on one stupid doctrine. I found a key to most people that are bound by a particular doctrine. All they harp on is that doctrine. They can't ever enjoy the freedom of and liberation of the Christians and the saints and just get with the brothers and the sisters and just have a good time. They somewhere harping on some doctrine that's like a big boulder in their eye. They can't see anything but that one thing. It's like seeing a forest and you just see a tree. You have none of the experience of enjoying the panoramic view of the scenery. All I see is that one tree. And man, I never want to become like that. You can meet more people and experience more things and get to know things, experience different cultures. Man, travel, eat new dishes, experience new things. Stop having a microscopic view of life with limited people. I try to get my kids to wake up. You're just hanging around here in Atlanta when you could be exploring the world, going to Japan, going to different places, going to China, going to Germany, going to France, go to Portugal, go to Spain, go down to the Caribbean, go to Alaska on a cruise. Man, live, man. No, you somewhere sitting up somewhere looking at a game with your partners drinking a 40 ounce. Going to the stank club every week. How many times do you go to the same stinking club doing the same stinking mess week after week? Your mind is that limited. You have been that arrested in your mind that your life revolves around 20 miles from your home in every direction. This huge planet that God put down here. With all this scenery and all these sights, and you stay at the same little old mess. We travel somewhere everywhere. One thing my wife and I were saying, we never hit the Midwest and the Grand Canyon and Colorado and places like that too much. We got to hit that next. You know, we've been to Texas and different places, you know, and we usually go to Florida or the Eastern Seaboard to the beach or up to Tennessee. We've been all these places, but we never really hit the Midwest. You know, that's our next conquest, the Midwest. And she always says, I want to go to Europe. So we'll hit Europe if we don't die first or we don't get called home or something. Or the Lord don't come back. You got to see some things, man. Live. I tell my daughter, 18 years old, I said, look, you get a little job working $9 an hour. But if you limit yourself to that, you'll be there 10 years from now working a job, making $9 an hour. Mm-hmm. I said the avenue of progression and advancement to really do and see some things is education. I didn't choose that way. That's the way it is. You make $9 an hour working at a job right now. You're in school to become an RN. An RN for the VA is making $125,000 a year. I bet you if you want to go to France, you won't go at $9 an hour. But as an RN, you can go. And by necessity, you will come to a fork in the road and you'll depart from certain kinds of people who are not going where you are going. You don't have to be better than them. You don't have to be proud and lording over them. You don't have to look down on anybody. You've chosen your destiny in life and you just live like this because this is how you live. I don't compare it to anybody. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Don't let another person dictate to you your limitations. That's crazy. Why would Shonda sit there and let another woman tell her what her and her husband can't do based on the limitation of that woman? The stars are the limit. You should always be working on yourself. You should always be getting an education, challenging yourself to learn more, know more. You should always have something on the burner that you're doing. If Daryl and Latia graduate from college, why not get your master's? Why not get your doctorate? Why not shoot for something higher? Why not be the best at whatever you're doing? Why you guys be in the backseat of the cab and never driving the cab? God does not have limiting factors built into the Christian mind. You don't have limitations on your mind. That's why we want to build a base camp for saints to get them to press out of the status quo. Stop being limited people looking at this thing through a microscopic view of life that I'm limited in my own mind about what I can be or what I can do or where I can go. Man, that's the life of a slave. Went to South Africa years ago right after apartheid. And it's amazing how the blacks in South Africa looked at us in amazement as we walked into different restaurants and stuff. They're like, y'all going in there? Yeah, and I'm getting ready to get me this steak too. You better come on. And the white people who weren't used to it looking at us like, are y'all crazy? You know what they said about us though? Oh, those American blacks. You know what they were really saying? Those are people who are used to being free. We have indoctrinated these people over to be slaves, and they are limited in their own minds about what they can and cannot do. Don't you know when they were able to ride in the front of the bus, a lot of black folks went to the back of the bus by nature because they had been indoctrinated and programmed to ride the back of the bus. Why do you think you're looking at a boy walking down the street with his pants pulled down to his knees, nap knots draped down his back, covered in tattoos, two earrings on, or got that crown of naps in the top of his head looking like somebody crazy? A crown of naps. I bring it up. Don't you know it's white people listening to you, Price? Don't say that around these white people. You embarrassing all. I'm not embarrassing nobody. What you're looking at is the remnants of slavery. Self-imposed slavery. Because you can't get a job. You can't matriculate into society. There is a correct way to speak. There is a such thing as proper English. There is a right way to do math problems to get the right solution. The laws of physics don't change for anybody. If you're going to be an engineer, you got to know the equations and you got to know how to do the engineering problems to solve these problems that this company won't solve. You'll find a lot of companies don't care about your skin color because we're trying to build this Boeing 747. Are you an aeronautical engineer? Do you know your stuff, man? That's all I want to know. As a legal assistant, nobody care about Damien's skin color. We got to do this brief. Do you know how to do it? Can you manage this office? Can you get these lawyers prepared for what they got to do today? Do you know your stuff, man? See, when you know your stuff, can't nobody take that from you. Right. Nobody can take from you the knowledge you got in your head. So what are you getting? The devil propagates Lil Wayne and Jay-Z and Kanye West into the environment. They emulate these bums. These crack smoking, syrup drinking bums have become the icons of the young black boy. He walks down the street trying to be Lil Wayne. Without a pot to take a whiz in and a window to throw it out of. Nothing to his name. No family. No wife. No responsibility. No authority. No respect for himself. And nobody's going to respect him because he doesn't respect himself. Get around people with an education. With an academic proficiency and an acumen for academics. He's like a fish out of water. Getting mad and angry and trying to talk about everybody because of how ignorant he is. There's nothing worse than the walk around ignorant. And you know you're ignorant and you can't come into the environment with intellectual people that know what they know. And they're not trying to be something. It's just what they are. And you feel put out and subpar because of your low self-esteem and your own low self-worth. Because you never applied yourself to be anything. So by nature, you know what you do? You go to the place where you'll find no conflict. You'll find other people who are impaired like you, and that'll be your gang. You'll become a Crip or a Blood. That'll be your posse, your homeboys. Because all you got is a common denominator. You know what it is? Ignorance. We're all ignorant here. And when you come around, you know what you act like? You're better than us. No, it's not that anybody acts like they're better than you. You know that you're less than everybody else because you made yourself into less than other people in your own mind. Has nothing to do with material possessions. has nothing to do with the education. Has to do with an identity that can only be found in Christ. You're not somebody because you're black or white or you have some type of financial gain. You're somebody in Christ. And the limitations are taken off of you in Christ. I'm not going to identify with a certain racial group. I'm not going to identify with a certain denomination. All of those are limiting factors. I want to be in Christ. And in Christ, the sky is the limit. Whatever God has for you, you need to want it. You need to get everything God has for you. The song used to say, what God has for me is for me. It don't have nothing to do with nobody else. It's not comparative. Get rid of comparative thinking. What you drive, where you live, all that has nothing to do with anybody else. You get to God, and whatever God wants to give you, receive it and say thank you. And keep living. You can't let limitations bathe your mind. We're trying to preach people above this junk that's trying to chain them down. Racism and all this other junk and racial identity and trying to be black or white or Hispanic or Oriental. Man, break out of that cage, man. For God's sake, break out. Your mind is still bound. What do people fear more than anything else? Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29, mankind is bathed in fear, and the devil's faith is fear. That's the devil's thing. If he can get you to fear, man, he's got you bound because you believed his lie. Proverbs 29, verse 25, what does it say? The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be saved. People fear people. How I look to them, what they think about me. I hope I didn't come across as. Did I speak well enough? Did I look right? How do I look? How do people look at me? How do they perceive me? Who cares? When you get into Christ, you lose consciousness of what people think about you. It's vertical now between you and Christ, and you can live for the first time in your life. Look what happens when you fear man and the devil embeds you with fear. He bathes your soul in fear. John chapter 12. When you are bound by fear and you're trying to do what God wants you to do, it will limit you and stop you. John chapter 12. John 12. Verse 37, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom have the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, listen to this, listen to that transition. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Look at John chapter 9. John chapter 9. Afraid to get put out of the synagogue, they would not confess Jesus openly. Man, that's a shame. Now, John chapter 9 is about the blind man that Jesus healed. And Jesus healed the blind man, then the Jews began to getting this tumultuous thing about, was he blind at first, or maybe he wasn't blind, they've called him the mother and father of the blind guy to make sure he was blind, etc., etc. Now, the blind boy's parents came in before the Jews to testify. In verse 20 of chapter 9, it says this, his parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but by what means he now sees, we know not. Who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Man, I tell you, religion is a hellacious thing. John chapter 7. Excuse me, John chapter 7. John chapter 7, verse 11. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, where is he? And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. For some said, he is a good man. Others said, no, but he deceives the people. Howbeit, no man spake openly of him for what? Man, I'm telling you, man, you might think this is funny, but it's happening right now. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but he is that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Those that do his will know the doctrine, whether it came from God or not. If you're not doing the will of God, you can't understand anything I'm saying. You're basically listening to argue against what I'm saying because you don't do the will of God. Those that do the will of God know the doctrine of God. If you're bound to this world, not doing the will of God, what I said about black folks has already offended you and you're mad because you don't do the will of God by coming out of the world. Why? The fear of the Jews. You fear somebody. You're afraid to be different. You can't walk alone. There are victims of fear in the Bible. You don't have to look at them in the Bible, but Numbers 13 tells us about Joshua and Caleb, who are the victims of fear. They went into the promised land, spied it out. 10 spies were afraid to go in. They had to wander for 40 years in the wilderness with other folks as the victims of fear. Saul's army in Numbers 13, 25 through 33, you see the story about David and Goliath. I'm sorry, 1 Samuel 17, that's David and Goliath. You see the story about David and Goliath in 1 Samuel 17. Saul's army were the victims of fear. Saul was afraid, they were afraid. What he had in him transferred to them. You sit up under the wrong ministry and that guy's afraid, the fear of that man will transfer to you. And you'll go no further than him. What's wrong with Creflo Dollar? He's afraid. Joel Osteen is afraid. They're afraid to be contrary to the world and preach against the world and its sin. So they try to keep you bound in the world, not to offend the world. It's a trick. They're really cowards. They're afraid to confront the devil's systems of influence and his world systems sent to destroy people. Joshua and Caleb, you can find that story in Numbers 13. That's what I was trying to refer to. Numbers 13 tells you about Joshua and Caleb. Read that story. And 1 Samuel 17 tells you about David and Goliath and the victims of fear, the armies of Saul and Joshua and Caleb. Look what it says in Revelation 21. Revelation 21. This is a shocking statement in the Bible. Revelation 21, verse 6. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But look what he says. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. This is a promise. You want to stand on the promises of Jesus? This is a promise. The first one sent to the lake of fire is the fearful. The fearful. You're fearful for a reason. You're fearful and unbelieving, unfaithful, because you're into yourself. Second Timothy chapter 3. He talks about the latter days, perilous times shall come. The first thing he said was because men will be lovers of themselves. It's all about being afraid, trying to keep me safe in an environment that's already destroyed. It's already judged. You can't be safe in this environment. It's an environment under judgment. The Bible says in Romans 6:7 that he that is dead is freed from sin. That's your freedom, to die to the world, the flesh, and satanic influences. That's how you get out of this. Fear will bind you. The devil's faith is fear. What has he done? He's built a religious system based on fear. So that the thing that you fear most, the devil can bring it upon you. Notice how behind the scenes in Job, the devil was working behind the scenes to bring things on him. He feared the loss of his kids. He feared the loss of all of his livestock and all of his holdings. He feared the loss of everything in his life, and the thing he feared most came upon him. Reverential fear for God, the respect of God, brings the faith of God alive in you, so you're not conscious of yourself anymore. If you take your soul and focus it solely on God through his word, so you got to ingest this word by day and night. Let the word become your focal point. You know what's going to happen? Your soul is going to recalibrate itself all by itself. And your focal point will be away from this world into eternity, focusing on God, and you'll have fear dismissed from your life. When you focus on God, there is no fear. You obey his commandments. That's the definition of perfect love. If you love me, obey my commandments. It will dismiss fear all by itself. It's a supernatural work that gets rid of fear. The devil organized, structured fear through men like Anton LaVey. Anton LaVey is a Satanist. This is the picture you see on the introduction of the live stream broadcast. This man in the shadows is Anton LaVey. Anton LaVey was an American author, occultist, and musician. He was the founder of the Church of Satan, as well as the author of the Satanic Bible and the founder of LaVeyan Satanism, a synthesized system of his understanding of human nature and the insights of philosophers who advocated materialism and individualism, for which he claimed no supernatural or theistic inspiration. Anton LaVey was the man behind the scenes lurking in the movie Rosemary's Baby. Plays Satan, who inseminated Rosemary to have Satan's baby. Anton LaVey, the founder of the Church of Satan. They use fear to govern the Church of Satan. Fear is the power of occultism, and fear is what they use to do what they do. How did Anton LaVey die? He died on October 29, 1997 in St. Mary's Medical Center in San Francisco of pulmonary edema. You know, when you hear the word pulmonary, you think of the heart, and it's the heart and lung mechanisms. Pulmonary edema is the lungs filling with fluid because the heart is not pumping out. It's not pumping properly, and the lungs begin to fill up. He was taken to St. Mary's Catholic Hospital because it was the closest available. A secret satanic funeral attended by invitation only was held in Colma, after which LaVey's body was cremated. Colma is Colma, California. And Colma, California was actually a place that was founded as a, what they call a necropolis in Rome. You know what a necropolis is? It comes from the word necros, which is the dead. Colma was actually a graveyard. That's what the city came from. It was a necropolis. It took him to a graveyard to have a satanic ritual dedicated to Satan and let him pass on. After he was dead and cremated him, buried him up to Satan. And he's in hell tonight. this stuff is really happening. The fear is coming from somewhere. I'm trying to make a case to show you where the fear came from. If you know Anton LaVey, he was bald-headed. If you remember the men that shaved their heads in the Bible who took a vow to kill Paul and shaved their heads to seal the vow? He was a bald-headed man that took a vow at a satanic ritual. What was that ritual? It was called Walpurgisnacht. Walpurgisnacht, which is a German term. Walpurgisnacht was the night that he took the ritual up and founded the Church of Satan that night at that ritual. When does that occur? It occurs every year on April 30th. We just had one about 9-10 days ago. Walpurgisnacht. It comes from a name from a saint. And his name was Saint Walpurgia, who lived in the 8th century in Germany. Anyway, it's called Witch's Night. That's what it is. Walpurgisnacht is Witch's Night. And he took this vow and started the Church of Satan that night, April 30th, back when he began this church, and he shaved his head to do so. Now, you know, after that night, which is the witch's festival, the next day is what day? And they crown the May Queen, which is the queen of the witches that comes to power, May 1st, the day after witch's night. All of this is divining powers. They just did this. These girls come out naked at these galas and come out naked in these costumes because they're celebrating something. Witches do rituals how? Skyclad. They do rituals butt naked. The butt naked woman is a divining rod. Why are some women so naked now? They're using their bodies to divine through. Kim Kardashian knew what to do. Pam Anderson knew what to do. They don't get naked and make these movies for nothing, these videos for nothing. They know if they divine their body parts on the public, they can cast a spell. Britney Spears got off a limousine with no underwear on and spread eagle up her legs so you could look right down into her vagina. She was divining a spell to make you get drunk and captivated by her female parts. Strippers on a stage show you their female parts to divine a spell on you to captivate you. This is the essence of the captivation. Why do I mention it? Because when you're captivated by the world, fear will govern you because you'll be into yourself. See, everything is about you and your appetites being all about feeding self. And you'll be afraid to die. It'll happen to you all by itself. When the gospel is preached to you, all you hear is, you're trying to take my life from me. I have no life. I can't live. I'll suffocate under the gospel because I'm enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. So you see, all these things are historically accurate. Well, Walpurgisnacht is real. The night of the witches and the crowning of the May Queen happens the day after that. You find groups like Led Zeppelin that sang songs about it, like Stairway to Heaven. And they sang a verse saying it's just the crowning of the May Queen in that song. Jimmy Page, the lead guitarist for Led Zeppelin, was a follower of a man named Aleister Crowley. Aleister Crowley is another master magician and Satanist. Aleister Crowley was born 12 October 1875. He died December 1947, was an English occultist, ceremonial magician, poet, painter, novelist, and mountaineer. He founded the religion and philosophy of Thelema, in which role he identified himself as the prophet entrusted with guiding humanity into the aeon of Horus in the early 20th century. On the back of the dollar bill, you'll find the all-seeing eye of Horus. It's a Thelemic symbol that came from Aleister Crowley and a coven of witches and warlocks. This country is bathed in witchcraft. It's what's the power that we're fighting against. You got to know that witchcraft is the natural, normative religion of fallen man. You're not a worshiper. You worship something else. What is the mantra? What is the saying that came from Thelemic witchcraft that Aleister Crowley founded? Do as thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. It's what Jay-Z lives by. He's an Aleister Crowley devotee. Michael Jackson was an Aleister Crowley devotee. The rock band Eagles was an Aleister Crowley devotee. The Beatles were Aleister Crowley devotees. We're bathed in witchcraft. So it's got the whole world wondering after the beast. They called Aleister Crowley the beast. He was known as the most evil man to ever live. He was also bisexual. He was a freak. He was crazy, insane. Crowley gained widespread notoriety during his lifetime, being a recreational drug experimenter, bisexual, and an individualist social critic. As a result, he was denounced in the popular press as the wickedest man in the world and erroneously labeled a Satanist. He wasn't erroneously labeled a Satanist. He was a Satanist. Crowley has remained a highly influential figure over Western esotericism and the counterculture. You know what a counterculture is? It's like if you get the hip-hop movement is a counterculture movement. It goes against the grain of culture. Rock and roll, heavy metal rock. All these are counterculture movements. And what the devil is doing, he's absorbing the counterculture movements into the culture to make those movements normal. So therefore, you get smoking marijuana legalized. You get homosexual marriage legalized. You see what's happening? This is all the power of witchcraft now, because the church is somewhere chained up talking about prosperity, afraid to confront. That's why I'm dealing with fear. Satan's fear will make you afraid to confront that which is satanically driven. You'll become a coward. And anybody that will confront it, you move back from them because you're afraid. The Lema is a religion based on philosophical law of the same name, adopted as a central tenet by some religious organizations. The law of the Lema is, do what you will shall be the whole of the law. Love is the law, love under will. The law of the Lema was developed in the early 1990s by Aleister Crowley, an English writer and ceremonial magician. You know, you look at the album covers of singers like Michael Jackson and Dangerous, you'll find Aleister Crowley there. See, all of this stuff is real. All of this stuff is promoted and it's projected against the human mind, and unknowingly, we're bathing the world. We're seeing the world bathed in fear. And fear is projected from Satan for a reason. Fear is Satan's counterfeit faith, because he knows that perfect love cannot be brought forth out of fear. Love casts out fear. And it says that, hey, love cannot be perfected in fear. And that's what the devil's after. He knows we're designed to be conduits of God flowing through us to reach other people. How can you go out and preach the gospel afraid of people? That's why people don't represent Christ. That's why you don't see any geometric progression and exponential replication in the church. Because folks are afraid of people. They're afraid to bring Jesus Christ to the culture. They're afraid to speak up about Jesus Christ publicly. Fear while talking all this church stuff. That's why we have a conference. Don't bring all that bit talk in the confines of Christians. Go to the street with it and save somebody. What you bouncing all this junk off of people inside the church for and can't save anybody? Shut your mouth until you can take it to the street and have somebody saved through you and discipled by you. Trying to be signed off on as a prophetess amongst church people. Go prophesy to the lost and save somebody. The Bible says they'll fall down at your feet saying that God in you is of a truth and be convicted in their hearts if you're a real prophet. This is garbage trying to be put forth as church, because folks are really scared to death of a conflict because they got the world in them. You'll never fight what's in you. You'll never turn on the devil if the devil got a citadel in you. You'll never come against your master. It's a yoke of bondage, and that yoke of bondage is fear. Fear is the devil's faith. The faith of Satan is fear. He makes us afraid, and he does it through the worldly inputs that come into us unknowingly. You sit and watch horror movies your whole life, he's embedding fear in us for a reason. It's not just helter-skelter, just done for no reason. It's not entertainment. He knows what he's doing. He knows he's got a stealth, underhanded projection into your soul that will undermine your salvation. When you come to Christ and he begins to spook you, you'll get scared of him because all those horror movies will rise up in you. You see how in Dracula, it used to be, in the day of Dracula, they show Dracula cross, he'd run. Now in a horror movie, they take the cross and bend it in half and beat you to death with it, a vampire. You see how it changed? That's the devil. Make you think, a cross will stop him. I remember one Dracula movie, they take a cross and put it on Dracula's head to burn his head. He couldn't take it. Now the vampire take that cross and break it in half and throw it at you. And then beat you to death and throw you out of window. Now the devil telling you, your stinking religion can't stop me. Jesus Christ is nothing to me. I'm invincible. You know, a vampire is a type of Satan. A blood-sucking vampire, that's exactly what he is. He's a leech spirit. He lives off of other folks. And it's amazing how many people that profess Christianity are afraid of him. They're really afraid of the devil because they're afraid of his world. They're afraid of the people in it. And they're afraid of the resources that surround us. Last thing I'll say, this is the most important part of fear. Notice how they were afraid they'd be put out of the synagogue. You listen to me by way of live stream, you bound to that church and you're afraid you'll get put out of it. You sneak around listening to broadcasts like this and afraid of the environment you worship in every Sunday and Wednesday night. You're afraid to be ostracized by them, afraid to be different. You gave somebody a CD from Omega and they spit in your face and told you I'm the devil. But you know it's not the devil, but yet you're afraid to separate from these folk. They are binding you, and the tormenting fear you experience because you won't separate from that garbage is going to plague you to your grave. Afraid you'll be put out of the synagogue to this very day, all because you come to Jesus and openly confess and profess him. Notice how much religion despises Jesus. So if I want to be a part of religion and matriculate through religious systems, I'll never know Christ. I'll never know him because I'm trying to conform to the dictates of my religion. What they think about me, how they define me. Do I measure up to their standards? You got to lose all that to walk with Jesus Christ. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And you got to walk in liberty, not subject to the dictates of anybody. Anybody that ministers to you can only preach you to a certain place. And then the Holy Ghost got to take you up and take over. Because nobody knows all the elements of what you're called to do personally. I'm here to keep foreign junk out, not to limit the people that are in. I'm here to see people developed and grown to full stature so they can stand on their own 2 feet and go and be about the Father's business, not hang around me forever. You got to be about your destiny in Christ. What are you called to do? What has he ordained for you to accomplish? Where do you need to go? You need to find those things out and be about the Father's business. But you got to go through the process of growth, maturation, and coming to your own inside of Christ to know who you are. So no foreign elements can infect you and affect you because you're ignorant of the devil's devices. My job is to expose all the devil's devices. A lot of folks do their own studying. They already know this stuff because they study themselves to show themselves approved, which is good. I'm not sitting around telling you, look, don't be knowing anything if I don't tell it to you. Wait until I teach it and shut your mouth. Look, man, it's all about you making an end for you. You better make sure you get in. The Bible says every man should bear his own burden. Work out your salvation for yourself with fear and trembling. That's what you got to do. You got to study to show yourself approved. A workman need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You've got to look out for you to an extent in this, because, hey, nobody has a heaven to put you in nor a hell. God is going to judge you according to the deeds done in your mortal body. Man, we got so many people wrongfully dependent on other folks to try to get in. You better lose that, man. Shake that off. Don't let people limit you. Go see some other stuff. I saw most stuff after I was saved because I traveled alone. Man, I drove somewhere everywhere, down to Pensacola, Indiana, Illinois, North Carolina. It's a revival over there. Dare Prince having a meeting somewhere. I'm down in Florida, man. I'm down in North Carolina. I'm over here in Illinois to see Wynn Worley and at Hagenwich Church casting out devils. Doubling back by St. Louis, picked up Sharbach in St. Louis. Then one headed for Cincinnati because Jimmy Swagger was over there for a three-day revival. I don't understand the limitations on folks' minds, man. Shake the chains off of your mind. You can't run around and see everything and anything, but God will lead you and guide you into what you need to feed you, to prepare you to do your job in the body of Christ. That's what it's all about. Fear will have you just circling around 5 miles away from your house. Some people die on a block, and they never been 10 miles away from that block and die in the house they were born in. This big, huge world, other nations, countries, things to see, things to experience, people to meet. It's all kinds of Christians down here with all kinds of inputs and knowing all kinds of things. And you live in that limited, cloistered, bound world of your little church, your prophet, providing a covering over you. My covering. What kind of covering? What you under a blanket or a spread or something? A covering? A man with a covering? The Bible don't say no kind of way, no way, shape, form, or fashion a man is under a covering of another man. That's all about a husband and a wife. That's it. And you somewhere in the church talking about my covering. Somebody need to slap you and that preacher upside the head for telling that lie. And you believing it. Fear. Fear is the devil's faith. It will bind you. I don't make a lot of friends preaching what I'm preaching because the church world don't like it. I don't care if they don't like it. I'm here to take my message to the grassroots, to the people. Jesus took his message to the people. Notice he didn't go through the Pharisees and Sadducees to the people. John the Baptist didn't stop by the Pharisees and Sadducees. As a matter of fact, he told them to go back. Who warned you vipers to come out here? I'm not talking to the religious folk. I'm talking to the grassroots people, the people ground zero that are looking for Jesus Christ and freedom. You can't filter this message through religion because religion will stop it. Take your case to the people. Take your case to the streets. That's where the field is. Like Rashid said last night in prayer, he was in the park preaching. Guy was saved out there in the park with him giving out bottles of water out of a cooler. Man with 7 kids responded to the message and gave his life to Jesus Christ in the park. That's all it takes, man. Said the people appreciated on a hot day in Texas him giving out cold water. That was an avenue in to a soul. A cold drink of water. Man, it doesn't take that much, man, to reach a soul. The people are starving, but we got to get over fear. The fear of man bringeth about a snare. Faith of Satan is nothing more than filthy fear. Overcome it, destroy it in your life, and move on. It's time to do a work for God. It's time to see the church rise up in faith and destroy the bondage of all fear in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for this time of sharing. Thank you for the word of God. Right now, God, we commit this time to you to bless our minds, bless our hearts by your word, and set us free. To wrap it up today, I'm going to ask Omar to come up and pray against the spirit of fear while we're on this fast. We come against all demonic elements, and we're going to be praying against fear today. By way of the internet, stand to your feet where you are for prayer. If you know how to pray in the spirit, pray in the Holy Ghost, man. Don't be afraid to pray in the Holy Ghost. Break the bondage of all the limitations the devil has placed on your life.
Thank you, Lord.
Father in heaven, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we come before you, Almighty God, acknowledging you are Father and Lord over all creation and Father and Lord over our lives, Almighty God. Yes, we Lord. Thank you, Almighty God, for saving our souls, yes, Almighty
Lord.
God.
Yes, Lord.
For renewing our minds, Almighty God.
Thank you, Lord.
For bringing us again in oneness with you, Almighty God. By your Spirit, O God.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Father, for breaking the yoke off of our necks, Almighty God.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Father, for breaking that fear off of us, Almighty God. And filling us with your Spirit, Almighty God. That we could be at one with you, Almighty God. Walking in unity with you, Father God.
Yes, Lord.
And liberating the souls of thousands of others, Almighty God. Yes. Having a lineage of people, oh God. That will come to know you and the power of the resurrected Christ, Almighty God. Through our message, Almighty God.
Yes, Lord.
Being preached all around the world as a witness. And then the end shall come, Almighty God. Not fearing what man will do to us, Almighty God. Because our lives is but a vapor, Almighty God. Looking back from where we come from, Almighty God. From where we were a kid, oh God, all the way to now as an old man, oh God. Life is not as long as we think, oh God. It's very short, oh God.
Yes, Lord.
So help us, Almighty God, as we endeavor to please you, Almighty God.
Yes, Lord.
Him that have chosen us, oh God, to be a soldier, Almighty God, enduring the hardness, oh God.
Yes, Lord.
This is spiritual warfare, Almighty God. We thank you, Father. We thank you for Brother Rashid, oh God. The work that he has done, oh God. What he is doing there in Houston, Texas, Almighty God. Using as an example, oh God, that we can do the same thing right where we are, Almighty God. All throughout this nation, there's people hurting, oh God. In our own neighborhood, Almighty God. Let us use that, oh God, as an example, oh God, to propel the gospel, oh God, to a sick and dying world, Almighty God. We thank you, Almighty God. We thank you, Father, for your Spirit, oh God. That will break the yoke of our necks, and we can use it, oh God, to break the yoke of our other people's neck, Almighty God. I thank you, Father, for delivering our souls, oh God, from fear, oh God. Thank you, Father God, for bringing us all as a unified army of believers, oh God, that we could do the same for others, Almighty God. And we thank you in advance, Almighty God, for the great work of the cross, oh God, because it is the power of God unto salvation to whomever we believe it, oh God. Thank you for your Son, Jesus, oh God. There at your right hand, ever living to be a sacrifice for us, Almighty God, praying for us all around the world, oh God. I thank you, Lord God, for the great cloud of witnesses, oh God, cheering us on, Almighty God. Cheering us on, oh God. That we can do this, oh God, because they did it, oh God.
Yes, Lord.
Believing, Almighty God.
Yes, Lord.
Him, oh God, that is able to bring us, oh God, all the way through, oh God. We thank you in advance, oh God. We thank you for your prophet, oh God. We ask, Almighty God, for deliverance for him and his family, Almighty God. The words, Almighty God, for encouragement. Oh God, edification, exaltation, and comfort, Almighty God. I thank you, Father God, for pouring out through him, Lord God, for us, Lord God. I thank you, Father. Deliver his soul, deliver every financial blessing for him and his family, Almighty God. I thank you for it, oh God. In Jesus' name, our Savior, Lord God, and Lord, we ask him. We ask for him, for his blessings, so God. In Jesus' name we ask and we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, right now, for those of you who don't have the Holy Ghost, we're going to pray to receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. The Bible says how much more the God will give the Holy Ghost to them that ask for him. And that if you come to God hungry and thirsting after righteousness, verily you shall be filled. The Holy Ghost baptism does not save you. You got saved and you have the Holy Ghost. Yes, the Holy Ghost came and arrested you and saved you. So now you have the Holy Ghost in you. But now we want to baptize you in the Holy Ghost. There's a difference between having the Holy Ghost in you and the Holy Ghost baptizing you into the body of Christ to start the process of transformation and liberation totally taking place on you. The baptism of the Holy Ghost gives you access to power to live the Christian life. So you get saved and you have the Spirit by measure in you. Your spirit has been reunited to God's Spirit by the Spirit, and your spirit has been brought back alive. Now that same Spirit wants to baptize you, and the Bible says Jesus Christ is the baptizer. Jesus Christ will baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire to go out and express the life that you've now received. That's what it's all about. Power. Power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Power to express the Christian life. So right now where you are, raise your hands if you don't have the Holy Ghost. If you have the Holy Ghost, to be filled with more of the Holy Ghost in order to do a work in these end times. Right now, God, in the name of Jesus, through the airways, through cyberspace, and here in this room, we release the power of the Holy Ghost. We ask you to come upon these people, God, in power and baptize and fill them with the mighty Holy Ghost and fire. To not only talk about Christ, but to be filled with Christ. I don't want to talk about Christ. I want to be full of Christ. In Jesus' name. Send your word. Send your power. Baptize and fill the masses with the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. God, let that river flow out of the belly. Flows a river of living water. Let it bubble up. Let it go out, God. Let it flow out. Baptize the soul. Baptize the physical body. Baptize their lives in the Holy Ghost and fire. In Jesus' name. God, it's time for resurrection power to come alive and fill the church with your presence. Let the river flow in Jesus' name. Amen. That's going to wrap it up for today. Listen, stay in prayer. We're in day 3 of a 14-day prayer and fasting time, culminating in 11 days on Thursday, May 21st, the day before the conference began. Remember, prayer tonight, 9 o'clock. We're praying right through to May 21st. We won't let up. We won't take the foot off of the gas pedal. We must break through these barriers in Jesus' name. So make sure you stay in prayer. That number on the prayer line tonight, 9 o'clock, is 1-805-399-1000. The access code is 409-367. Remember, if you haven't registered for the conference, get online at that same website, register for the conference, and reserve your hotel rooms. Remember, Dunamis Tabernacle, support it. We've got to get boots on the ground. It's not about me, not about you. It's about Jesus Christ living through us. We need an atmosphere and an environment of continual praise, worship, and prayer that we will not be denied. We refuse to go back. We refuse not to have what God has promised us. We're going to stay in the battle to the end. Like the man said in the sermon, hey, look, if God is backing you up, why in the world should you back down? It's time to believe God to the completing of his work. We are not those that draw back. We believe God until the saving of the soul. That's what we're all about here. Come on, get in. Keep pushing. Don't give up. Whatever you do, if you feel discouraged out there, don't give up. Refuse to give up. Be too ornery, be too tenacious to let the devil make you give up. Refuse to give up. Refuse to bow to Nebuchadnezzar's image. I refuse to give up, devil. I will not give up. My kids will be saved. My spouse will be saved. My mother and father will be saved. I refuse. I refuse to let the devil cart them off and destroy them. I'm just too boneheaded, too ornery, devil, to let you have your way. You got to wrestle with this devil until you rend a soul out of his hands. Be tenacious. Keep fighting. Don't give up and don't look back. See you back here next week. Next week will be the final broadcast before the conference. That's the 17th. And then we're going to be heading rapid fire into the conference, y'all. We're moving fast into the conference. Going to be moving fast there, so get ready, because we're going to come out of the conference heading in a whole nother direction. Yeah. It's going to be a change up. We're going to change directions and move ahead in another direction to get some things done. So get ready. See you back here next week. You know, stay away from crazy people. Stay away from bound people. Stay away from religious people. And for God's sake, stay out of the matrix. See you back here next week and be blessed.